These economic arguments were most forcefully expressed by two people. J.A. Hobson, who in 1902 would publish an important work called Imperialism, a Study. And, of course, Lenin, who would play an extremely important role not only as a theorist of capitalism and of socialism, but also as an active political figure in the Bolshevik Revolution and in the founding of the Soviet Union. In 1916, while living in exile, Lenin would publish his work, Imperialism, the Last Stage of Capitalism. He saw imperialism as an integral, inevitable product or stage of capitalism. The capitalist system, he argued, produced a dog-eat-dog competition between increasingly monopolistic capitalist enterprises at home, and then finally between capitalist states competing for markets, competing for raw materials, competing for areas in which to invest. That competition lowered domestic profits and thus forced the owners to invest their surplus capital overseas. It was the only alternative because owners would not, he believed, raise wages at home to create a better domestic market. The inevitable result of this competition was international conflict and ultimately revolution. This was one of the contradictions of capitalism which Lenin forecast would lead to its downfall. Hobson, whose arguments had been put forward earlier, made an equally probing analysis and a forceful argument. Hobson had argued that Europe simply needed to export capital, that imperialism was a perversion of nationalism, that all nations were basically compatible, but had been perverted by capitalist economic policies. The special interests, he argued, profit at the expense of the nation. Parasites, munitions, factories, and so on. The real roots of imperialism, he argued, were to be found in the uneven distribution of income at home, which prevented consumption from keeping pace with the rising productivity of labor and thus production. The result was overproduction and excess capital. Hobson's remedy was a redistribution of income at home. This, he argued, was the real key to social peace domestically and international peace. Foreign trade would then have the function of directing surplus out of the country, but would not represent, but would represent a genuine exchange of products. The effects of imperialism on domestic life of the imperial power also drew attention from Hobson. Hobson wasn't simply concerned with explaining what had prompted this new burst of imperialism. He was quite clear on its impact on the indigenous populations of Africa, Asia, and so on. But he also was quite concerned and took great pains to analyze what he saw as the deleterious effects of imperialism on the domestic populations back in Europe. He argued that the mentality of soldiers, the morality and welfare of the nation had been undermined by this imperialist venture, that militarism and a way of approaching the world, if soldiers, if administrators went off to Africa and were able to behave in ways that were beyond the law, to behave in ways that were incompatible with notions of European morality, as if this were some sort of special case to be bracketed off, and this is what he argued, then as these soldiers returned, or just the mentality of doing this, of being able to act outside the boundaries of accepted European morality would inevitably come back and undermine democratic values at home. Also, the need for unity at home to face foreign threats caused by imperialism would lead, he believed, to a disregard for political parties and for democratic practices. There was a great deal of talk, and we're going to address this in a moment, a great deal of talk in the 1890s and in the decade plus down to the outbreak of the First World War, that European imperialism was simply a way of diverting attention away from domestic problems at home, that governments encountering difficulties having to do with bad distribution of income and other social problems could divert the attention of the masses to foreign policy successes or to great triumphs in the imperial realm. This, he believed, would lead to, and the inevitable international conflicts that would result, would lead governments to call for unity at home, to overcome differences, to put aside differences, and to accept government leadership where it was not warranted. As a consequence,